What I did this afternoon, I did a Jim Delschmidt. Jim Delschmidt was a good saint. S-A-I-N-T. Sunday afternoon is nap time. And I took about over a two-hour nap today. And I just got up about an hour ago, and I feel good. Amen. And thank you for praying for us. We had a tough week this last week, real sick and up and down, but we're back and we're hanging in there and we're going forward. Amen. The Bible banquet, that's what I wanted. If you read through your Bible, we've got the sign-up sheet in the back. Rosie typed it up for me this morning. I haven't even had a chance to go over and look at it, but if you read through, you're going to be at the banquet. Please sign up. We need to know. We either need to take that down either Wednesday or next Sunday at the latest. If you read through the Bible and you want to go to that banquet, please sign up. We got to know how much food to bring in. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to have Pastor Jay bring a special message all about the Bible. And it'll be a great night. Laughing. It's food. I like food. How many like eating? And so, amen. Happy birthday, Dale. 25, huh? Amen. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. Look at one verse, verse 8. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to talk to you about the sanctuary for God tonight. I'm not going to talk about the furnishings of it, although I could. And when you study in there, you'll see the different furnishings and the dimensions and stuff he talks about. But I got a different thought on this tonight, Brother Mike. I got it a few weeks ago. And actually, probably had this in my Bible for about a month, but... I want to share it with you tonight. The Lord put this in my heart. And look at verse 8, Exodus 25. Let them make me a sanctuary. By the way, this is God's sanctuary now. Do we treat it with reverence? Do we come to it thinking as a holy place for God? We should. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Father, I really believe you put this in my heart several weeks ago, and you told me this week this is what I'm supposed to preach, and I want to be a blessing to the people. I pray you'll get honor and glory from this message, Lord, and thank you for what we heard this morning. What a blessing. Lord, what a blessing that message was this morning, and help me to be a blessing now tonight, we ask, and help our people that are homesick, especially Daphne and those that aren't doing well, please. Put your healing hand. Thank you for Brother Wes being and Barb being back. And Lord, thank you for bringing Wes back to us and healing him up. And just be with all our people now. Even think about Debbie Black right now. Lord, help Debbie. And Lord, all our folks, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord stated here in this verse 8, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Listen, when you study the place of worship, the tabernacle, the temple, or now in today's standards, the local church, God's local New Testament church. One common thing prevails with all these places where God met. God wants a place to meet with us, to talk to us, to speak to us, to move us closer to Him. Can anyone say amen? In today's February 23rd, 2014, and we come to God's church on Sunday, God wants to meet with us. He wants to meet with me. He wants to meet with you. When you walk out, you ought to say, man, I sense the Lord today. I walked out this morning and said, man, I sense the presence of God. How many sense the presence of God this morning? Man, I walk out and say, man, God came down and met with us this morning. And that's a good feeling, ain't it? And, when we come to church God wants to make His presence known to us. Look what He says, make me a sanctuary. Let us make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wants to dwell among His people. Do you want Him to dwell among you? I do. How about you? Amen. Listen, When we come to church, God wants to teach us through His Word. He wants to encourage us through His Word. He wants to instruct us through His Word. And sometimes He wants to correct me through His Word. Sometimes He wants to correct you. Amen. I'm glad for the chastening of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I used to do bad, my father, he had an old belt that he wore around his waist, and he'd take it off and say, "I'm going to whoop your butt, boy." You know what? And I used to try to run from him. Didn't matter. He always found me. I had a friend. You know, I was just a little kid. I didn't know no better, Mike. I used to run and hide in his closet, thinking I could hide from him. He found me every time. I wonder why. Rena, I want to say that to you. You can't run from God the Father. There's no hiding place from our Father. Amen? And so he said in verse 8, make me a sanctuary. Well, what should be in God's sanctuary? If he said, make me a sanctuary, what should be in there? And tonight I want us to think about some things that should be in God's holy sanctuary. I wrote down 4 or 5. I've got a few of them, but when the time runs out, I'll stop and we'll pick it up again some other time. I'm going to give you a few things that I believe ought to be in God's holy sanctuary tonight. Number one, I believe there should be a worshiping heart in God's sanctuary. I mean a real desire to be close to our Savior. When I come to church, I want to get close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw unto you, James 4:8. I'm going to tell you, coming to church, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get closer to God when you hear His Word. Faith draws. His Word draws us to Him. Amen? You wonder why people can never get close. They never hear the Word of God. They never read the Word of God. They never seek the Word of God. You want to get close to God? Get in His Word. Seek His Word. Listen. I want you to turn to this. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. I believe there should be a worshiping heart in God's sanctuary. A worshiping heart. Brother Wade and Chrissy's homesick. There's a lot of our folks. I'm not going to go all through their names, but we got a lot of people sick in our church right now. That flu bug is just unbelievable. Billy, I thought I hit oil this week because it never kept coming out. Oh, it wasn't black, but it was coming out. Both barrels too, Billy, both sides. Didn't care which one. Boy, that was a bugger. It's not fair at all, I'll tell you. I have a thing with Billy. We try to crack up with each other all the time. This might not be the place for it, though. Okay. I believe there should be a worshiping heart. A real desire to be close to God. Look at Matthew 2:11. Look at Matthew 2:11. And when they were come unto the house, by the way, they were in a house. They weren't in a manger. Jesus was already about a year old. How many are with me? Maybe even older. And when they had come into the house, they saw the what? The young child with Mary and his mother. And look what they did, these wise men. They fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped him. Stay in there because I'm going to give you another, there's going to be another point I'm going to give you out of this too. They fell down and they worshiped him. Number one, when we come to God, you say, they weren't in God's sanctuary. They were right with Christ. You can't get no better than that. Hello? I believe there should be a worshiping heart, a desire to be close to our Savior. And those wise men, they fell down and worshiped their Savior in God's sanctuary. I think we ought to see people who come from all over. By the way, a lot of our people drive a long ways to come. Some of the kids, I thought they still lived across the street. They're coming from Canton. We got people coming from different areas of the surrounding areas here. There's hardly anybody lives in Ravenna. Me and Rosie and Pastor Dave, I think, and Tammy, we're about to, and Kenny, most of the people are living far out. But notice what they did. They came and they worshiped in God's sanctuary, number one. You should see people who come from all over just to worship their Savior. Pastor Myers, I think the main thing when we come to church, we ought to come to worship our Savior. How many could say amen to that? Do we come to church to express our love and our worship for the one who sacrificed for our sins? Do we really come to get closer to the Lord? If you're coming, you're not trying to get closer to God, you're really losing out. When we come to God's house, we should come with a worshiping heart. Oh God, thank you. And we, Lord, we worship you today. And I'm not talking about the phony baloney on TV. I'm talking about our heart saying, God, we truly love you. Can anyone say amen? And number two, not only do we need a worshiping heart when we come in God's sanctuary, I believe we ought to have a giving heart. I believe in God's strength there should be a heartfelt worship. But also there's in that worshiping heart, I believe there ought to be a giving heart. And I think a worshiping heart and a giving heart go together. I really do. With that worshiping, I believe there should be a giving heart. Look at Matthew 2:11 again. And they came to the house, they saw a young child, Mary and his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts. They had a worshiping heart and they had a giving heart. How many are still with me? They had a giving heart. I really believe you can't have a worshiping heart unless you have a giving heart. Because I believe part of the worship is giving. And I can give you scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave. I really believe worshiping and giving go together. I really do. I believe worshiping and giving go hand in hand. You see a person that's worshiping, you'll see a person that gives. Because you can't hardly separate them. You can't hardly separate people that love God that don't want to give to God. When you love God, you want it. He gave everything for us. Amen? I really believe worship and giving go together. They go hand. Love and worship, true love and worship have giving connected to them. Did you get that? True love and worship has giving connected to them. John 3:16, I quote it, for God so loved the world that he gave. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. I want you to I'll just read this to you. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When you come to God's sanctuary, you come and you give with a cheerful heart, God is blessed with that. You know why I think Bethel is so special? I believe Bethel is so special because you say, boy, it's so filled with love and warmth. Because Bobby, I believe the majority of our people have a giving heart. I really believe that. By the way, I don't know who gives other than myself. I can sense from this church the way it comes in, the way we do things. I think the people are going to respond on that tractor. Because already people say, I'll do. That's a giving heart. How many are still with me? And that when I see giving heart, I think of Christ. Who had the most giving in heart to ever walk the earth? Christ. How many want to be Christ-like? A giving heart is found in the sanctuary of God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 talks about on the first day of the week, the first day of the week is Sunday. How many are with me? We don't come to church on the Sabbath. Look up here. Someone needs to hear this. We don't come to to church on the Sabbath. Sabbath's Saturday. We're not keeping the Sabbath. We keep the first day of the week because Jesus arose early on the first day of the week. Every Sunday, not just Easter, every Sunday is a celebration of the risen Christ. Every Sunday. Isn't that exciting? We celebrate Easter, Brother Bobby, 52 weeks a year. That's pretty exciting, amen? Can anyone say amen? When Jesus went to the cruel cross of Calvary, he did not give himself grudgingly. He gave himself willingly. And then I wrote this. You say, what does this have to mean? I want everyone to look at these scriptures with me. Look at Leviticus 27, or I'll just quote it to you. Leviticus 27:30. I'm working on a giving heart. We'll see what do we see in God's sanctuary? A worshiping heart, a giving heart. Leviticus 27:30. There, I got to it. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is of the Lord. What is the tithe? It is what? That's right. I put my tithe in. The moment I get my check, I take my tithe out. John, the first thing I do is I take my tithe out because it's holy. I get that envelope. I put my money in. I run it out. You say, why, preacher? Because I believe that's God's. It's holy. But here's the thing. When I come to the sanctuary of God, I'm not coming as a God robber. I'm coming as one that's wanting to give from the heart. How many are still with me? Notice what it says there, that the tithe is holy. If any man ought redeem himself the tithe, he should add the fifth part. In other words, if you didn't give it, you ought to give 20% then if you cheated God. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even whatsoever passes under the tenth, that tells you how much it is. The tenth shall be unto him what? Holy unto the Lord. How many see that? And so the tithe is holy. Well, why are you saying this, preacher? Because I'm trying to tell you what God wants to see in his sanctuary. How many are still with me? Look at another scripture, Malachi. But I'm going to get off this in just a couple minutes. I'm leaving it, but I just had to put it in there. And by the way, this is the most givingest church I've ever seen. So I'm not beating you over the head about giving. I'm proud of you. But I want to, Coolidge, I know you're a giver. I want to encourage you and your family. Hey, it's right to give. Jack, I know you're a giver. I want to encourage you through the Word of God. It's right to give. Eddie, you and Lizzie, give your heart, everything you got. It's right to give. By the way, I like the new look, Eddie. Notice Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? Well, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. By the way, not just the tithes, the offerings. See, faith promise. Given the Bethel Baptist Christian School, those are offerings, other things. Hello? For this new the tract repair, offerings. Hello? You're cursed. By the way, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even though this whole nation. Look what he says in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. What's God's storehouse? His local church. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherein that saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Thank God this church is over 50 years old. And for 50 years, this church has given. We've supported missionaries all around the world, bus routes, you name it. We've sent out money for the gospel of Christ, bought Bibles. I know it's more than 50. We're probably in 60 years old or more now. We've preached the gospel down on this street here, on Freedom Street, for 50, maybe 60 years now. It's escaping me right now. I think it's 1956 we started. What is it, Billy? 58 years old. Thank you, Billy. Billy's got a photograph. Maybe, a lot of times I try to think, get him to remind me of some of the things. But for 58 years, this church has been out here preaching the gospel, picking up bus kids and doing vacation Bible school and sending out missionaries and you name it, we've done it. ABL program, biker programs, jailhouse, jail ministry programs, you name it. We've been sending the gospel, and there's probably more that I haven't even Hedy Lorm, and you name it, it just never ends. But it all takes money to do stuff. And that's how God does it through his people, through tithes and offerings. That's how we buy parts and do things and put gas in the bus. And do you our love banquet? Yes, that's right. Amen. Amen. And so, look at that says in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my saints, my house, and prove me now here in the Lord of hosts, if he will not open you the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. God says, I promise, if you do right, I'll bless you. Didn't say he's going to make you a millionaire. Just say he's going to bless you. And so, what does that got to do with the sanctuary of God? Because I believe if people come with a worshiping heart, there'll be a giving heart attached to it. I believe that with all. When people have a worshiping heart, you will see that they have a giving heart. I've never seen people that really love the Lord that don't like to give for God. Hello. They're two together. They're one, but they're together. People that have a worshiping heart have a giving heart. What should be in God's sanctuary? Number one, I think there ought to be a worshiping heart. I think there ought to be a heartfelt giving heart. And then number three, I believe in God's holy sanctuary there should be heartfelt preaching. Preaching of God's holy word, the word of God, the real word of God, the King James Bible, 1611, God's word for the English language. I believe in God's holy sanctuary there should be heartfelt preaching. Preaching without compromise. Preaching that reaches out to the hearts of people. America needs some old-time religion. America needs some old-time preaching. America needs to get back to the things of God. America needs to turn from their sin. America needs to look up and say, God, forgive me. I'm coming back. America needs, Brother Billy, revival. The greatest need in America is revival. I don't care about the politicians. I'm going to tell you, you get revival in the church houses all through the land. You'll work up. Revival in America will take care of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. doesn't control America. God's people control America. That's the truth. Because if we're walking with God, we'll put... I didn't have this plan. In Proverbs 29:2. I think that's it. I didn't have this plan. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. I believe that's what it says. They're pretty close to it other in Proverbs. Here's the thing. When God's people walk close to God, they will put the people in that will walk with God. God will raise up people. Hello, how many are still with me? America's wicked. The reason we have such wicked leaders is because we have a wicked country. Our country's wicked. I love that flag, and I love my country. Don't you walk out here. No, I love America. Greatest country in the world, but I'm just telling you right now, my country has left God. And America needs to come back to God. See, the God of heaven made our country great. The reason our greatness has went down is because we left the one that was great, that made it great. Amen? Notice, I believe there ought to be... Listen, America needs some old-time preachers, old-time preaching. Listen, there are too many liberal compromisers today, too many yellow-back, sissy-wissy, backpedaling so-called preachers. I can't even put up with half of the preachers. I'm talking about Baptist preachers. We don't even go to the meetings because I can't take the sissy-wissies. And they can't take me! Because I get in their face and start yelling, and they say, oh, you're such a radical. No, I'm just a King James Bible preacher that believes the old Bible is the truth. Listen, we need to get back to the old ways of God. Scripture says they're the best ways. Amen? Look at with me real quickly in the scripture. Look at 2 Timothy. I'll quit pretty soon. Here's what God wants. God wants real preaching in the sanctuary. You think God would let Joel Osteen into his sanctuary and let him preach? I know he's one of your favorites. Let me pop your bubble. Say, I wish I can't mimic like Pastor Dave. He's got those people down perfect. The world will go to hell listening to Joel Osteen. I remember when Joel Osteen first took over for his dad. They interviewed him. I saw it on TV. You might have, on 60 Minutes, I think it was. And he said, I'm not called of God. I'm a cameraman. That's what he said. Don't get mad at me. Some of you are, Lord, I didn't have this planned at all. It's not on my notes. Boy, get him now, Richie. Get him, baby. Take it in. Some of you are getting a broken heart tonight because I'm giving you truth. Well, he's so fantastic, preacher. He's got more sophistication than you. He sure does. He's probably not even saved either. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not to be the cameraman. I was called to preach. And Brother Jack, I knew I was called to preach. And when I preached, they wouldn't let me preach on there. They'd kick me out of that little thing they meet in. Not little, but whatever they meet in, whatever that building is. Because they couldn't take the... Look up here. That's why America's in trouble like that today. Because even the fundamentalists think that's a great thing. Some of you think that's great. It's not great. Well, look at this crowd's over yours, preacher. Yeah. Look at them. Wonder why. I'm glad I got the light. I'm glad I got God's torch. And so let me say what I say to you, Timothy. I have to quit going here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. I charge, this is what we should have in the sanctuary of God. We should have old-time preaching like Pastor Wendez. I like old-time preaching, don't you? I see little Billy get up here and preach and spit and holler. And say, yeah, baby, don't you ever lose it. You ever lose it, you ever become a mamby-pamby, wimpy, whoopy, I'm going to come down and twist your stinking neck. That's one of my boys. You say, how dare you? How dare him? I love him. He's one of my kids. It would break my heart to see him. He never will, by the way. And if I saw you boys preaching, and you say, I'm not sure this is a pure word of God, I'd run up there and snap your head right off your neck. I'd say, yes, you do know it, and I'm going to put you down until you do know it. Hello? You know what? Look, I'll stop on this one. I've got 6 or 7 of them on there. It's already 7 o'clock. So don't break your neck. Look around. It's 1 minute 7. I'm proud of you kids. I really am. We got some great kids here. And I think we're preparing some great preachers and some great preachers' wives. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. We have a little fundamentalist here. Look at this little fundamentalist. I love you because you remind me of me a lot. He gets in trouble, but they don't catch him. Cool. I watch him and Kyle, because I'll watch the kids when they're out there when it's warmer and they're out there playing. Him and Kyle, if you saw him and Kyle hit each other all the time, they're constantly going at each other. They're probably best friends. They're always at each other, always doing something. And Kibitson, and I say, man, those kids, you say, what's God going to do with those kids? I'll tell you what he's going to do with them. He's going to get strength in their faith, and then they're going to become something for God. I like men having a little mustard in them, amen? I don't want too many panty waist kids. If they get a bloody nose once in a while, that's good. I had bloody nose. I got my teeth knocked out when I was a kid. Boy, make sure you guard, because You know, if you're going to punch someone, don't wait for him to punch you. Always be the first one to punch. That guy usually wins. When I got my tooth knocked out, it's because the kid, I let him punch me first. And so, don't you dare hit one kid tomorrow at school. You do, I'm coming after you with something, man. How did I get onto that? Lord, help me. I was really excited about this message, Brother Mike. I was really pumped up for this. Let me get back here now. I got to get this back. I believe there should be preaching. And Timothy, look at Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He's coming back! He's coming back! Christ is coming back! He said the thing when I was a kid, here come the judge. He's coming. You know why they don't say it anymore? They don't believe they're going to be judged. But the judge of all earth is coming. So he said, because he's coming, look at verse 2, preach the word. What America needs today is hot preaching from God's word. We need some men in the pulpits. We need men with conviction. I was talking to young Billy today. I said, Billy, just make sure all your convictions are your convictions. Because if they're your convictions, they'll never take them away from you. You can take all, you can, Billy, you can get me down, beat me. You can't get the convictions out of my heart. They're there forever. Amen? Preach the word. Be in season, not of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come. And Brother Eddie, I think we're really close to that time. I mean, now they're advertising queers. They're applauding queers for being basketball players and stuff. What a sad day, Brother Mike. You say you ought not say that. No, I ought to say it. If preachers was kept on preaching against that sin and said, oh, I think it's all right to have a different lifestyle. No, it's not. An alternate lifestyle is not right. It's evil. It's an abomination to God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap of themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's what's happened today. You know why they're pounding the Joe Osteen instead of a fundamental church that teaches the truth? They want their ears. They don't care about truth. They don't want to know about what's... Don't bother. Just play the violin and give me the big orchestra and let me stay in my sin, but don't preach on it. Hello? They turn their ears from the truth and they shall turn to fables. And so, but it says, watch thou in all things, Pastor Dave. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. You preachers, make full proof of your ministry. You know why? Christ is coming back. Hey, you bikers. Thank God for our Bethel Baptist bikers. You witness to a lot of people. Make full proof. That's your ministry. Jimmy, you got a ministry for those bikers. Hello? Sean? You guys got a ministry. Or Jack, you got it for those bikers. Make full proof. Oh, it's not the ministry of preaching, but you're a witness. Hello? And so I believe in God's sanctuary it ought to be a heartfelt worship, a heartfelt giving. And I believe there should be heartfelt preaching. And I think I truly believe God wants to see real preachers in the pulpit. God wants to see real preachers preaching from His holy word, His Bible. And I pray that God will raise up some real preachers that will have convictions. That's Carl, what's the trouble with the preachers today? They don't have convictions deep-seated in their heart. And so when they go before people, they don't express them because they're not deep-seated. See, we need to raise people with deep-seated convictions. No, I'm not going to drink. It's wrong. No, I'm not going to take drugs. It's wrong. I am going to read my Bible. I am going to pray. I am going to go to church. How many are still with me? I am going to give my tithe. We need people that, and preachers, we need, because what's happened, Pastor Dave, is this. The reason we don't see the church is shaking no more, ain't a whole lot of guys with deep-seated convictions. They're like chameleons, wherever they are, that's what they are. They turn the color that they are. We need some real old-time porcupine preachers. We need some old-time Baptist preachers that are porcupine preachers, so when they preach, people get the point. Amen? I'm going to close with this. By the way, I have three more, but we're going to stop, Mike. I'm just going to read them to you. Number four, we need to have a heart to hear from God. When we come to church, do we have a hearing ear? We need a heart to hear from God. 1 Samuel 3:10, Samuel said, and he answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." When we come to hear the word of God, do we come to hear from God? We should, in God's sanctuary. People ought to come to worship Him and give to Him. But there ought a worshiping heart, a giving heart, a preaching heart, and they ought to have a heart that listens and a heart to hear. Too many people won't hear. When you come to God's house, did you come with a hearing ear? I don't care what that preacher says today, I'm not going to do it. That's not come with a hearing ear. Amen? And then number five was, I have a heart to, by the way, you're getting, I'm just reading them, trust me. Number five, do you have a true heart to praise our Savior? I had several scriptures here about praising God. And do we come to church with a praise in our tongue? God wants to see that. In God's sanctuary, He wants to hear praises from our tongue. Let me give you one verse and I'll close on this. I promise. Look at Psalms 48 and we'll sing that song. Psalms 48. Wait, all that time to preach this message, I still didn't get to preach it. Psalms 48. Verse 1 and 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Do we come with praise on our lips? When we come into God's sanctuary, there ought to be praise in our heart. There ought to be praise in our lips. Or do we come disgruntled? Do we come with a grumpy heart or do we come with a merry heart? Do we come with discord or do we come with praise? Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. We ought to come with great praise. And that song, if you know that song, sing it with me. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. He is the great King. He's the King of Kings. And the King is coming. The King is coming. And so what God wants in the sanctuary, there should be a worshiping heart. There should be a giving heart. There should be a heartfelt preaching. There should be a heart to hear. And then number five, there should be a true heart to praise the Savior. And lastly, there should be a heartfelt prayer. There ought to be prayer in God's sanctuary. Let me close on that. I'm going to read that one last scripture. Hebrews 4:16. I'll close with this verse. Hebrews 4:16. God wants to, Brother Mike, you love to pray. God wants to see prayer in the sanctuary. He wants prayers to go up for that sanctuary. 4:16. I need Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When you come to God's house, it'll be a time of praying in the sanctuary and seeking God and worshiping and praising and thanking Him. And also, bring in petitions of your heart. Those are some of the things that we should see in God's sanctuary. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'll bless the people. I pray that something we said, Holy Spirit, put some of these things in their heart. Dear God, I pray that you would let me be a blessing in their lives. And thank you for giving me health I could preach tonight. And Father, just bless our church and bless our people. And Lord, help us to go out with the power and the praise of God upon us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, John? 388. You want to come for any reason, you come right now.